Salutations. It's good to be with you again. Happy holidays. The holidays are over. The holidays are dead. And we're still here alive. I brought a picture for you of yourself in the future. Here it is.
Thanks a lot.
This is you. This was going to happen to you, whether you like it or not. You're going to look exactly like this.
He's waving.
No matter what you do or don't do, no matter if you're happy or sad, rich or poor, sick or healthy, you're still going to turn into a bag of bones. This is what happens to the average person. This we have to look forward to. But if you'll only go within yourself and know the truth about yourself, then this becomes a mirage. When you discover you have eternal life, if you have never been born, you can never die. When you discover that bliss is your real nature, bliss, you are meant to be blissed out every second of the day. Happiness, true happiness, it does not involve person, place, or thing. When you understand this truth, you become free in it. And you'll always be alive, always. The body becomes like a bubble in the ocean. Bubbles come, bubbles go. Bodies come, bodies go. Here today, gone tomorrow. Many of you want to have fun all day, enjoy things. There's nothing wrong with that. But it must come to an end. Everything comes to an end. All of your enjoyments, all of your pleasures, everything you've earned, worked for, strived for, comes to an end. Everything must end. When you're sort of young, you don't think about these things. You think about having fun all the time, enjoying, going out into the world, making something of yourself. When you've made something of yourself, you made a mess of yourself by believing you are the body, by believing you are the mind, or believing you are living in reality. Whereas in truth, The only reality is the reality you don't know. The reality that is beyond time and space. Beyond worlds, bodies. But you can't taste this reality that I'm speaking of unless you virtually give up your life. I mean, you have to kill yourself. I mean, give up the life that you're living, mentally. Stop believing that the life that you're living is important. That's something you have to do. Something you have to accomplish. The true life is within. The real world is within yourself. Free of all pain, sorrow, free of man's inhumanity as a man. Free of everything. There's a world like that, you know. A real world. It's full of happiness and joy and peace. A world that has no beginning, no end. That world is you. You are that. But we're going about it the wrong way, most of us. I've been receiving a lot of telephone calls from Santa Cruz during the holidays. Santa Cruz must be completely enlightened. Because everybody calling from there tells me they're enlightened. This has been going on for about 2 or 3 years. They want a confirmation of the enlightenment. I usually get the same answer. I say, if there's anybody looking for a confirmation, kill that somebody. Who needs a confirmation? Does the self need a confirmation? The ego wants a confirmation. Well, last night I got a call from Santa Cruz from a lady who got a hold of my transcript. And she tells me, Robert, for 25 years I've been reading Advaita Vedanta. I've read everything there is to read. Everything, every book. I sit in meditation 4 times a day. I travel the world, met all the yanis, seen all the holy places, but nothing has happened. This is what I told her. This is important for us too. I told her, you're doing everything backwards. the more you read, the more knowledge you gain. And who profits by this? The ego. Every book that you read gives you more intelligence. Who has intelligence? The ego. Every time you think you have to meditate, it is the ego meditating. Does the self have to meditate? Does reality have to meditate in reality? All of the gurus you've seen, everything you've done has actually put you back in time. Not forward, but back. The whole idea in the Veda Vedanta is to remove everything we've ever learned. To get rid of all of the things we've learned. Not to add to it. Not to add new knowledge to the old knowledge. But to become like little children, so to speak. Where we know nothing. We do not wish to know something, we wish to know nothing. How can you know nothing when you're reading and reading and reading, when you're meditating the life away? When you're searching for new teachers all the time? All you're doing is filling yourself up with knowledge. More knowledge and more knowledge and more knowledge. The only thing that will ever happen to you is to become a walking encyclopedia. You'll be able to recite aphorisms. Sutras. If you have a good memory, you'll memorize the Bible backwards. And have a lot to say. This is a mistake most of us make. A true spiritual aspirant hardly has anything to say. There's no one to debate. No one to argue points of spirituality. No one to say I'm right or you're right. This is right and this is wrong. A true spiritual aspirant is very quiet, very still. Does not make a lot of waves. With watches, looks. And does nothing. Everything that has to be done will be done through the person. It's so easy to live a life like this. It's so easy to be still. And allow the power that knows the way to move you in the right direction. To lead you to raise a finger. There's absolutely nothing that you have to do. Why will you not trust yourself and stop fighting? Stop having a battle within yourself. Leave yourself alone. Remember I told you before, you have to learn to love yourself. To really, really love yourself. If you can really love yourself, you can trust yourself. Go easy on yourself. Develop loving kindness, compassion. And stays with you for a very short time. So take advantage of it. If you're fortunate enough to be with a sage, realize that you've earned the privilege, sometime, somehow. Perhaps in a previous life, something you've done before. If you really follow what I'm telling you, something wonderful will happen to you. You will find that you are the sage yourself. You are the sage you've always been looking for. It's you. Who else can it be? Me? Don't look at me. I am simply your image. You have created me. You have created me in your own image, in your own likeness. This is the only reason I appear to exist. I am your creation. What are you going to do with me? It's up to you. Life is never what it appears to be. Everything is Maya. If Maya is also beautiful. Do not hate Maya. Work with Maya. By not reacting to things. By enjoying its beauty and love and peace. The whole thing may be a dream, but enjoy the dream. Pick out the good things of the dream. And think of them. Ignore the bad things. learn to be still. When I say learn to be still, I'm not referring to meditate. Remember, when you meditate, it has to be a subject and an object. There's duality. When I say to be still, I mean just be still. Be still. You don't think of anything special. Just be still. Be quiet. I'm not speaking of being still over here alone in your everyday life. Think of all the noise that some of you made this morning as you got out of bed. The talking, the arguing, the thinking, the mind chattering. This is what I'm referring to. Be still. You can talk to your mind as well. Tell your mind to be still. When your mind begins to chatter, say, be still. When the mind starts telling you all kinds of things about somebody else, say, be still. When the mind brings up things of the past, say, be still. That's what you have to do. You are the power. You can still the mind if you really want to. Just by telling you to be still. There is absolutely nothing in this world to be excited about. Nothing. For everything must change. Therefore, if you become excited about something in this world, you become confused, disillusioned, upset. For all things are subject to the law of change. Rather, go within. If you can really go within, you will feel a peace which passes all understanding. Divine joy. And this peace and joy will become your world. You will see it wherever you look, wherever you go. Remember, the only thing you see in this world is yourself. Nothing else. Wherever you look, you see yourself. If you don't like what you see, change yourself. Nothing wants to hurt you. Nothing wants to cause you pain. What are the signs of a true spiritual master? A real master, a real yoni. What are the signs to look for? and true sage avoids name and fame like the plague. If a sage has transcended the ego, why would he or she need name or fame? If a sage claims to be enlightened, why would that being want to be known? To have a following? To write books? To advertise? To go into magazines? Television? Can you imagine a real master doing something like that? For what purpose? If you inquire of a person like this, they will say, well, I'm here to help people. Bullshit. The only way you can help people is by becoming self-realized and leave everything alone. But a self-realized person is all-pervading. Omnipresent. And automatically people find peace by the person being self-realized. You don't even have to be in the proximity of a sense, a sage, a real master. There's no reason to be in close proximity to a person like that. That being is all pervading, everywhere present. Such a one has found total peace within himself. They're not looking for anything. They're not looking for students to impress, followers to follow them. They avoid us like the plague. The only reason you see me around every week is because I've got a contagious disease. So think about this. A real sage needs absolutely nothing from people. And it's true that where devotees gather, devotees take care of the sage. It's a different story. But the sage feels at home wherever he or she lives. Wherever they go. A sage can be happy in a cave or in a mansion. Makes no difference. It makes a difference to the onlookers. They always see something wrong, talk about it. But the true sage is total freedom. Totally happy within the self. Number two. A true sage has a great compassion for humanity and is full of loving kindness. Automatically, total compassion. A sage never said, I've come to bring you peace. Or I've come to destroy you. A true sage does not come from anywhere. He's always been here. There's nowhere for him to come from. Bring you anything. The sage and the peace go hand in hand. The real sage is the peace and the joy and the happiness and the love and the understanding and the compassion. So he really has nothing to say. Nothing to do. A true sage is a lazy fellow, real lazy. He has trouble blinking. He just exists, so it appears to other people that he exists. Number three. A real sage never gets angry, never has tantrum tremors, tempers. Never becomes excited of anything. Except in certain cases. When the sage is dealing with disciples, devotees, sometimes the sage has to put on a little act for the person. Because this is what the person needs at the time. This is why it is written, never judge a sage. We have no idea what the sage is going to do or how he's going to act. What this means is, you have to make sure the sage is real. If you feel the sage is real, then you have to sort of throw yourself at the sage. By throw yourself at the sage, I mean you must come to the sage consciousness and trust the sage forever, without judgment, without criticism. Yet most Westerners are not ready to do something like this. Because there's so many people claiming to be sages in town. It's difficult to know what to do. But if you pray within yourself, to yourself, you will know what to do. Every day you have to remember your real nature. You have to remember who you are. That you are pure awareness. You You are the absolute reality, which is like boundless space. The only difference between boundless space and absolute reality and absolute reality is consciousness. Consciousness is like boundless space. It is everywhere present. And all the images are only superimpositions on the consciousness. Your body is only an image. It is not the truth about you. It is an image. It is an image in boundless space. This means it doesn't exist. It appears to exist, but it doesn't. Just by remembering these things I'm sharing with you, will free you. Start your day off this way. By remembering who you are. You can say this to yourself. I'm not this body who runs around all over the world. I'm not this body that has problems. I'm not this body that sees things wrong. I'm not this body at all. I never was this body. I am that which has always been, and that which will always be. That which has never been born, that which never dies. Eternal. Self-sufficient. I am that. You have so many years left of this earth and this body, so to speak. What are you doing with them? What are the days, the weeks, the months, the years? If you're running around as material gain, you're wasting your time. If you're looking to make yourself happy physically, you're wasting your energy. I can assure you, you'll be wonderfully happy if you'll go within the self and try to understand who you are. Then you'll really be happy. You'll have unknown happiness that you never even believed existed. You are the one, and there's no other. You are the one that has always been, will always be. See yourself that way. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. The only reason you feel sorry for yourself is because you think of the past and the future. If you only stop thinking, all of your sorrows would end, so to speak. Everything will come to a screeching halt if you shut your mind. So, those of you who are taking New Year's resolutions, resolve that this year you will find illumination. You will find total freedom this year. This year you'll be completely free and liberated. This is a year for liberation. Some of you are making excellent progress. When I'm going to lunch with you and talking to you, I see where you're coming from. And you're doing very well. You're disappearing. You're coming into your own. Everything is unfolding as it should. Have faith in yourself. Enjoy yourself. Trust yourself. Love yourself. Be at peace. Time to play Thumb the Guru. We have any thumpers?
One
thumper.
This will do it.
Hallelujah.
Dear Robert, what is logic? There's a number of things. What is organization? And if they don't exist, can they have any significance? Logic is the first and organization is the next. Communication, I think, is the next.
Who needs to be logical? Does the self need to be logical? Does the reality which you really are need to be logical? If you only try to remember that these are only words, and you associated the words with feelings, certain feelings, you wouldn't be logical. Why do you want to be logical? What reason? To impress somebody? To get ahead in life? Does humanity really need logic? Rather understand who you really are. Discover your true nature. And logic will take care of itself in its proper place. But your job is not to be logical, to be yourself. When you are yourself, logic comes into play by itself also. And you'll do certain things, people may say you're logical, but you don't know anything of these things. Logical or illogical, they're all the same, there's no difference. Discover who you are, and then see if a question like that comes to play. What's the next word?
Organization and communication.
What are these words to you? Organization and communication, what are these words for? What do they do? Who wants to be organized? Who wants to communicate? The ego. It's always the ego that wants to do all these things. The ego wants recognition. It wants to act intelligent. So you can applaud it, appease it. It wants to communicate. So you can have a relationship with people. But it's still ego. And the ego is never your friend. Ego exists only to confuse you and confound you. That's why it appears to exist. But to whom does the ego exist? Only to the mind. So we're back to basics again. Destroy the mind by not thinking about it. If you don't think about the mind, it becomes weaker and weaker. And finally, slowly annihilated. When there's no longer a mind, logic is unnecessary. Communication is unnecessary. Everything is necessary. For everything works by itself, it takes care of itself. In its own time, in its own place. That's why I emphasize so much. Turn into yourself. Turn within to yourself. Never try to solve your problems. You cannot do it. Rather know yourself. Be yourself. And see if any problems disturb you alone. What I say to you sometimes seems to be ludicrous, nonsensical. But yet if you do it, if you try it, you will see if it's nonsensical. If you only turn within yourself and stop trying to change other people, change conditions, change behavior patterns, leave these things alone. Be yourself, love yourself, worship yourself. And then see what happens to you. That's another question.
Does our mind have any legitimate role in this life at all?
To confound you, to confuse you. That's the only reason it exists. It exists because of the senses, the taste, touch, feel, smell, and hear. You need a mind to do these things. But if the mind is destroyed, so to speak, then reality ensues. Reality is love, loving kindness, compassion, joy, peace, happiness, your true self. This is what the universe really is. Never appears to be. never judge by appearances. This means you should never judge any human being, no matter if you think they're wrong or right or whatever. You can't judge them, you have no right to them. The rapist, the murderer, you can't judge these people. It's not for you to judge these people at all. Everything will take care of itself. If you judge something, you become that something yourself. Because you have your mind embellished in it. And then you begin to think this way. So try to be still. Quiet the mind. Do not search for anything. Do not try to become anything. You will become what you have to become. Everything will happen by itself. Can you believe me? How cool for you, man. My best. Talk on. Anyone have anything else to say?
Why would the self ever want to appear other than it is?
I've said that before, yeah. The self doesn't want to do anything.
Yeah, but it's coming on like it isn't.
It's not coming on at all.
Well, it appears to come on.
To whom does it appear? It appears to you to come on.
Well, it's to you too.
Why to me?
I don't know.
Good.
No, you have senses as well as I.
How do you know?
I can see you stumbling around. You're getting there.
People tell me all the time I have no sense.
Well, there's a point there too.
It's all an hallucination.
Huh?
It's an hallucination.
I know, but why? Why hallucinate? What's the point?
There is no point. You think you're hallucinating.
Well, why not come straight out with it and not vary from what really is all along? Why the illusion?
To whom is the illusion?
To he who sees it.
Who sees it?
You do.
How do you know?
Because you're not blind, you can see what's going on.
I see what's going on, and I don't see what's going on also.
No.
I see and I don't see at the same time.
That's a neat trick.
I saw some kind of interesting disciple asked the master, do we live in the same world? And the master said, yes, we do, but the difference is that you see yourself in the world and I see the world in myself.
Mm. That's good for me.
It reminded me of the time that when I was telling about how frightened I was at the riots and explosions and all, and I asked you how you would have reacted. Then you said they were in me.
Mm. Which means?
They weren't real.
Exactly. This world is very funny. You're always seeing yourself wherever you look. All the riots, the dastardly things going on in this world, in this city of Los Angeles, are your creation. Where else do they come from? Collectively, we're all thinking certain things, seeing certain things, This is why many of us appear to see the same things at all times sometimes. We appear to see nonsense and goodness and badness and all kinds of things. We appear to see these things because we're all collectively thinking the same thoughts. Step out of the crowd. Be yourself.
Robert, if everyone was enlightened, would the world dissolve?
If everyone was enlightened, there wouldn't be a world at all to begin with. There'd be no world to dissolve.
That it would dissolve.
It wouldn't dissolve because it never existed. So nothing would dissolve. There'd be nothing to dissolve.
Well, if we created the world, and if we went beyond our conscious, our ego, then the world would dissolve, wouldn't it?
You only create a world with your mind. What you're saying is you go beyond the mind.
Then the world would dissolve.
There's no world to dissolve beyond the mind. The world exists only because the mind exists, or appears to exist. So the mind is made still, then you'll see the world never existed. There's no world. There's absolutely nothing to dissolve. Dissolving only comes from the mind. No mind, no dissolving. Sorry about that.
Robert, in the Yani, you say you see the world, the appearance has an appearance of consciousness, but an appearance that you can't
change.
Eliminate.
Yes. If I were able to eliminate this whole world and didn't see the world, I wouldn't be here anymore. What you call this body sees exactly what you see and doesn't see exactly what you see at the same time. It sees and does not see. Whereas you see it and you accept it. There's nothing in me to say not to accept it. And nothing to me to say that I should accept it. It's like I'm looking at a dream. I'm 100% certain I know the dream does not exist. But I know that I'm in a dream. As a body. The body appears to be part of the dream. But I'm always aware that it's a dream. All the time. When you forget it's a dream, you react to it. That's the only difference.
You know, it's a dream by comparison to some other reality, right?
No, no comparison whatsoever.
Well, if you're abiding in consciousness, so you're abiding in the real, noticing the dream as a dream. So you have something to compare it to. Whereas we're just abiding in a dream and we're not abiding in consciousness. We're unconscious of being in consciousness. You're conscious of being in consciousness.
Not quite. There's only consciousness. And I'm aware there's only consciousness. That's all I'm aware of. The rest I'm not aware of, but it appears.
You're not aware of the appearance?
I'm aware of the appearance, but not as you are aware of the appearance. I'm not aware at all of anything, but I see the appearance.
You see it differently than we do.
I see it like you do.
You see it as illusion.
But I don't see it at all.
You don't see it at all.
And then I see it.
That's quite contradictory. You see it, but you don't see it.
Exactly. Now you got it. That's it.
You're nuts.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's my final conclusion.
It's a compliment.
Yes, it is.
Could you say you see it through awareness, through a different position?
No, you can't say that at all. Because there's nobody left to see it like that.
There's no duality to be separate from it. And yet it appears. If it appears, that means there seems to be two, but you know that it's only one.
I'm glad you laughed.
You're getting close. I see it and I don't see it. And there's no definition. There are no words. There's nothing to say.
Would it be like if we were dreaming and yet there was a part of us that was inspecting the dream and we knew we were dreaming?
No.
Nice try,
though. It's so different than what you can imagine.
We always create a duality, and that's where we get off on the wrong foot.
Of course, I didn't say a word.
And you aren't coming from a dualistic position.
But I have to talk to you.
Well, that's your tough luck.
No. I can say and say nothing. And I'll say Robert never told us anything. So I talk about these things that don't exist. It's okay. All is well.
But you never see it as divided as...
No, I don't. Old.
It's always monistic. Whole
and
one.
Yes and no.
Okay, confusing further.
I just see.
What do you see?
Nothing.
Well, she used to take care of it. You always wind up wiping out the universe.
It never exists to begin with.
Well.
You gotta wipe it out in the end. It's a neat trick. If you can do it, you can do it if you try it.
Wiping out the universe is wiping out your own mind.
Of course. Now you can.
Yeah, but it's a bootstrap operation. There's no one to do it.
You might always want to do something, do nothing.
There's no one to do something or nothing.
Exactly. So do it.
Uh-oh. You're sneaking back in there. But we got rid of you.
I think that's the hardest thing in the world to do, nothing. Nobody can do it.
Try it.
That's the hardest thing in the world. Yeah, I try to pay somebody to do nothing for me, and I really said.
Really? You didn't offer enough, pay more.
Try me. You'll lose your money fast.
But you just pretend, Henry.
And you?
If you could really do nothing, you'd be sitting over there.
No way.
Henry doesn't want that burden.
No, thanks.
Everything is beautiful.
I agree. But as you said, that the rock, as you said, the rise here in Fred, the riot came from Fred. Is that what I understand?
Fred is responsible for the whole thing.
Fred's the guilty one.
Wait.
So there's no creation here. nothing is created.
Right.
And yet, Fred created the fear in his mind as a response.
Right? Yes.
So, fear is created in some, and beauty and joy is created at other times in other people.
Fear and joy come out of the mind. If the mind goes, there's no fear and no joy.
Then there only appears to be creation.
No, it's one appearance. It refers to the appearance. It wants to think it's real. You're not real for your appearance. First pondering that.
Everything. Some people would be scared to death by the price, and others wouldn't expect just a little. Each of us reacts differently according to our own makeup.
Yes.
We have different tastes, different conditioning.
We go beyond all that.
Does human love ever become divine love? What I mean by that is consciousness, like divine love in terms of consciousness. Do you go through human love for it to become pure and deeper to become divine love consciousness, or do you have to completely transcend
human love? Human love is sort of a step in the right direction. It is an inkling, a glimpse of what divine love is all about. But it's part of the material world. So naturally you've got to give it up. And yet if you can love enough, it will be the divine love that you're expressing. When speaking of the average person, who just love something because they can get something from it, with their own self-aggrandizement. When most people love, why they love? With their own benefits, so they can get something for themselves. They want something. They want to be happy. They want to have joy, peace. But if they really love, they would love everybody and everything. So, the human love is a step in that direction. It gives you a glimpse of what divine love really is. It's 1,000 times greater, millions of times more intense.
So human love and then toward divine love, the ego would be transcended eventually.
Yes. Well, love is the highest quality we have as humans, so to speak. If we can only love enough, we'll totally transcend the body.
Say God is love.
Mm. happen. But who is God?
It's just a word.
It's yourself. So you are love. Keep loving it. Let's sit in the profound silence for a while. Just be still. If your mind attacks you, just look at it in a loving way, leave it alone. Don't try to stop your thoughts or change your thoughts. Just be still. Be quiet. Do not think of anything in particular. Become aware of the thoughts that come to you. Just watch them. Not give them any attention. Try to change them, so not try to change them. Just be yourself. Thank you.